please welcome Gloria Copeland.
Way to go, guys.
Yippee.
Hey, Lenny. Doesn't that make you happy? Glory to God. We like the Word of God. We like the Spirit of God. Father, we love you. We praise you. We thank you. Give us hearing today. Give us utterance today. Reveal things that we need to know in this time. In Jesus' name, we give you all the praise. Bless this great church, Lord. Keep that man out of my pocket. In Jesus' name. Boy, Barry, I bet his face is red. Hey, are y'all excited? I can tell you are, because when I came in, I got excited. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, we're going to talk. I'm going to preach Pastor Moore's sermon today as best I can, but he really is one you need to listen to. Did you wash your ears? They can't hear me. Somebody's always complaining about little things. I know, I'm teasing. I want you to hear me. I think that's a great idea. What's the matter? You know, I don't want to hold that microphone. You want me to take this off?
No, just honk on that while Barry's doing that.
Honk on it.
Not honk on it, talk on it.
Honk if you love Jesus. Honk. Don't y'all get me started now. You got it?
He's working on it.
Well, let's come over here. You know, you never know when gospel ducks behind you. I'll just prepare while they're getting ready. I'll see if I can find a message to preach here. Hold on. Tell me when you're ready now. Are you ready?
Not yet.
Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Jenny's going to help me. This is Jenny, our granddaughter.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah. Y'all are messing me up. They're messing with my mind today. Are we ready now? No. Okay, well, we're going to start. Oh, okay. Praise God. Have you had a good morning?
Yes.
Did Brother Copeland do all right? Hallelujah. I've heard him a lot. For a lot of years. But you know, I like you. In fact, I like him. You'd be amazed at how good he is to me. Husbands, I'm telling you, if you'll be good to your wife, they'll be good to you. This is a new message. This is a new message. The Lord is good though, isn't he? All right, help me out.
Hold it, Jen.
Yes, ma'am.
We've got batteries. Is it working?
No. Is it working? Don't complain. Praise you and we bless you and we thank you for all the good word that's come forth. We love your word. We are a people that love your word. Say to the Lord, I love your word. We honor that word and we obey the word and we thank you for filling our minds and our hearts and our eyes and our ears with your word this week. We're going to do what you say, Lord. And we give you all the praise. Give me utterance today. Give us hearing today. We are going to live long and live strong. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. This is actually Brother Keith's message. You may be seated. But I didn't ask him if I could preach it, but I think it's okay. And he's probably got the entire thing on the internet if you want to really get it good. But I love this message when I heard it. That's because I'm getting older. No, I'm not old. I said older. I'm past 20, 30, 40, and that's as far as we're going to go. But it is a great message. Live long and live strong. Glory to God. So let's look at some good scriptures about that. I'm going to look at Psalm 91 in the Amplified Bible. You know, we want to live out the full number of our days. And we can do that with the Word of God and the Spirit of God. You say, well, what if you preach that and then you don't make 100? Well, wherever I am, I'll be happy. Glory to God. If I go at 99, I'll be happy. If I go at 110, I'll be happy. Surely Jesus will come before we get that old. Don't you think? We're ready, aren't we, church? Glory to God. So let's look at Psalm 91, and I'm going to just read I'm going to tell you some word definitions. And here's what I'm starting with, though. Bible-believing, acting people live longer and live stronger. Now, that's just a Bible fact. If you'll look in the scripture, you'll see that many, many of the people of God lived a long time. Some of them, though, their lives were cut short because they preached the gospel. But that was the glory of God. They left that place and went right into the glory. Some were stoned. Some were killed in different ways. But I'll tell you what, I don't think they felt any pain. I think they just went right on out here and into the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. So we're at a time where we're not being stoned and we're not being mistreated, and we live in a free country. Aren't we thankful? Yeah. You know, people are dying for their faith now in different places. And we're blessed to live in a country, in a nation where we can preach the gospel and we can assemble together. We don't have to do it in a cave or in the dark. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Bible-believing people and acting people live longer. Bible-acting people live longer and live stronger. Psalm 91, I'm going to look at verse 14 in the Amplified Bible. It says, because he has set his love, this is the Lord speaking, because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he knows and understands my name, has a personal knowledge of my mercy, love, and kindness. And that personal knowledge is so important. You know, you need to have a good pastor, and he's so important in your life. But he can only go so far. You've got to take it up and get personal knowledge of the things that belong to you. He can teach you, but you've got to take it, receive it, put it in your eyes, in your ears, get it down in your heart, bring it out your mouth before it'll work for you and deliver you, the Word of God, in every area. He has a personal knowledge of my mercy, love, and kindness. He trusts and relies on me. So this person that's living long, he dwells in the secret place of the Most High. He is delivered from the snare of the fowler and the deadly pestilence. He's under God's wings where he trusts and finds refuge. He takes the truth, and it's his and the faithfulness are his shield and buckler. He's not afraid of the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor of destruction and sudden death that surprise and lay waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand. This is a pretty dark day. 11,000 in one people in one spot, and you're the only one left. That's what the
the shelter of the Most High will do for you. Glory to God. And we hear testimonies of those things. And we hear supernatural deliverances of people and even in catastrophes and so on, when almost everyone was killed, there are people that know God that survived. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only a spectator shall you be, yourself inaccessible in the secret place of the Most High. So that's where we want to live. We want to live and abide in that secret place. Now, to do that, we have to be obedient. We abide in God's Word. God's Word abides in us. We're talking the Word of God. We're not talking fear, doubt, failure. We're not talking the curse. We're saying, I'm blessed. I'm in the secret place. No weapon formed against me will prosper. Only a spectator. We might see it, the Scripture says, but we don't have to participate. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only a spectator shall you be, yourself inaccessible in the secret place of the Most High, as you witness the reward of the wicked or the lawless. So times might get tough around us, but we don't have to have tough times. Glory to God. Because you have made the Lord your refuge and the Most High your dwelling place. So that's the part that we have to do. We take the Lord as our refuge. We take Him as our protection. We take Him with our heart and with our mouth. We take Him as our shield and our strength. Hallelujah. What does that mean? Well, for one thing, it means you don't tolerate fear. If you've taken the Lord as your refuge, you don't tolerate fear, because you can't be in two places at one time. You can't be outside the refuge and inside the refuge at one time. You're either in faith for your protection or you're out here in trouble. So we take and we make the Most High our dwelling place and our refuge. Verse 10 is the result. There shall no evil befall you. I didn't make that up. That's what the Bible says. There shall, when you're in that secret place, there shall no evil befall you. Say, no evil.
No evil.
Shall befall me. I dwell,
I abide
in the secret place of the Most High God. Glory to God. Don't you feel better already? Hallelujah. For there shall no evil befall you, nor any plague or calamity come near your tent. Now I've heard, you know, I've been preaching on the 91st Psalm a long time. I've heard some great testimonies of people that have been delivered, of people that were delivered out of 9/11, of people that God helped and saw through tight places and wrecks averted and all kind of things. For He will give His angels charge over you to accompany and defend and preserve you in all your ways of obedience and service. The angels have charge over us. We have an A-team. I've got one. You've got one if you're in Christ Jesus. And if you're not in Christ Jesus, you're in trouble. You better change. They shall bear you up on their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the adder and the young lion and the serpent shall you trample underfoot. Because He has set His love upon me, God says, because you have set your love upon Him, therefore will I deliver Him. I will set Him on high because He knows and understands my name, has a personal knowledge of my mercy, love, and kindness, trusts and relies on me, knowing I will never forsake Him, no, never. So really, to live in this secret place, you've got to have some information. You've got to have some Word of God on what God says He will do if you will do. And when you read the Bible, that's generally the way it is. If you'll do this, I'll do this. If you'll obey me, you can be free from the curse. If you'll obey me. Now, whose decision is that? That's mine. I've made up my mind. I'm going to obey God. He has a personal knowledge of my mercy, love, and kindness. We understand that God is good, that He loves us. We trust and rely on Him, knowing He will never forsake us, no, never. He, this man that abides in the secret place, and woman, shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. It's one thing to be in trouble. It's another thing to be in trouble by yourself. And it's another thing to be in trouble with God. When he's with you and you're with him, you're not in any trouble. Glory to God. You've got the deliverer right there. Now, here's really our subject today, but the 91st Psalm's just too good to pass up. I will deliver him. He shall call upon me. I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. Here's the result of making the Lord your refuge, of trusting in him, of being in his place, of calling upon him. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. Will I satisfy him and show him my salvation? That is just as real an option with the Lord as any of those other things. Making the Lord your refuge and your protection. Long life belongs to the children of God. It belongs to the children of God. It's God's will for us to live long. Now the word satisfy, I will satisfy him with long life. Will I satisfy him? The word satisfy in the Strong's means to satisfaction, to have enough, fill, full, self with, be, to the full, have plenty of, satisfy, suffice, to be weary of, or satisfied. Now that's how long we ought to live, till we've had enough. And we shouldn't come to that place until we've lived out a good number of our days. Till we've had enough, till we're satisfied. With long life, this person that abides, that stays under his shadow, that trusts in him, he's going to have long life. She's going to have long life. Hallelujah. And good life. It's one thing to live a long time. It's another thing to live a long time and be unhappy. But it's another thing to live a long time and be blessed. Yes. Glory to God. Be well. Jesus himself bore our sicknesses and carried our diseases. And so all this long life that belongs to us. Do you lose your salvation because you're 90 years old? No. Well, this is part of your salvation. No, we don't lose our salvation. Our protection is part of our salvation. This psalm is part of our salvation. To be delivered and honored with long life, will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. This man is delivered. This woman is delivered. They are satisfied. What does that mean? We don't want for anything. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's the will of God for us, that we don't want for anything. Now, how do we get that way? Well, there's only one way to get to where you're not wanting for anything, and that's to be an obedient child. Find out what the Word says and do it. Do what God says. Obey Him. Don't come up on things or hear something preached from the Word and say, I don't want to do that. That's just too hard for me. Everything God tells us to do in the Word is for our own good. For instance, this would be a big one. For instance, when the Lord said for us to stay out of debt, it looked like we were doomed. It looked like, what are we going to do? You know, this has been a lot of years ago. And we don't know, we didn't know then a lot of the things we know now. But we knew the word said to stay out of debt. Now there's lots of people in the body of Christ that don't want to hear that. And they don't want to do that. And that's okay with me. But I'm telling you, God's way is better. It's better to live a long time and to live in plenty and to live out of debt than it is to live a long time and be subject to the creditors and the people telling you what you can do, what you can't have. No, we go straight to the source. What is the source? The Father. He's the one that meets our needs. Glory to God. So we want to live long and we want to live strong and we want to be blessed all the time we're living long and strong. And there's only one way to do that. Just do what the Word says. Now that's what we learned a lot of years ago. And sometimes it looked hard and sometimes it looked impossible. For the instance, the Lord would say, go on every available voice on television. But then this would loom up before us. Don't borrow money. How are you going to buy a TV truck? And how are you going to buy millions of dollars worth of equipment? Build a studio? Spend a million or two a month on airtime? How are you going to do that? If you didn't have any money when the Lord told you to, you're not going to borrow money, but you want to be obedient. What are you going to do? You're going to walk by faith. You're going to believe God. You know what I wanted what I wanted most in the world as far as natural things was a home. And people I knew did not pay cash for a house. Now Ken, he's into wings. You know, he wanted airplanes. He could live in the cellar, but if he had an airplane, it'd be all right. But see, he's got a guy over here, it's just like him. Anyway, you know, we did it anyway. We said, okay, we'll do it. We're gonna quit borrowing money, shut the bank down, we're not gonna borrow any more money, we're gonna believe God, we're gonna pay cash for a building. I don't know if Ken told you this or not. Maybe I'll let him tell it. Anyway, I won't tell you how much, I'll just tell you. He had one of our accountants figure out how much money all these years, nearly 50 years of ministry, all these years that we've been in ministry, if we'd been borrowing money to pay for every vehicle, every building, everything we did, every material possession we had, you know, we bought, if we had bought it on credit and paid interest. It was an awesome amount of money. Did he tell you that this morning? Yeah. Wasn't that unreasonable to think that you could have, we saved billions of dollars by just obeying the Word of God? But you know, at the time, we were new. We never had done this thing before. We were willing to do without it if we couldn't get it by faith. We weren't willing to compromise. But we had no idea what a blessing that the Lord was telling us to do. See, God doesn't always give you the bottom line. He says, do this, and you do it. And then you see how important and how blessed it was. Hallelujah. Opened the door. It opened the door for us to anything that we could believe for. I mean, you know, we've never come up short. I don't mean we haven't come up short. We've come up short, but the Lord would make it up. But I mean, it's never held us back. Obeying the Word of God. That's just one area in the Word of God that I think is vital to the blessing of God. But at any rate, we had no idea at the time. And we didn't know, we'd never done that before. So, but we believed the Word of God. What's that called? Faith? Faith in the Word makes things work. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So this person lives and abides. He's satisfied. He has plenty of. He has enough. The abider is delivered and he's satisfied. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, my point was not all that. That was just extra, church. little extra there. My point was that we, with long life, will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. God wants us to be satisfied. He wants us to live long. He wants us to prosper. Live long and prosper. Not Star Trek. Not. But live long and prosper with the Word of God, with the Father. Hallelujah. And I'm just giving you my testimony that it was the greatest decision we ever made as far as the natural things are concerned. And we've never lacked for anything. Hallelujah. So he is delivered, this man that abides, this under the shadow, this man that stays fixed, this man that trusts God and honor him. Honor him. You know, I will deliver him and honor him. And we honor God. And that's really a key to your prosperity. And a lot of people find this is hard to deal with as they do believe in God for a house. And that's tithing. This is not my subject today. But I tell you, you cannot prosper very much in God if you don't let him in on your deal. We should be honored that God would receive our tithe. Because now he's got a vested interest in everything we gain. Hallelujah. Besides that, if it had no reward, if it had no increase, you would want to do it because God said do it. But it has all kind of increase. We honor God with that little 10%, and he increases us and blesses us. He's our we make him a partner in our deal. Why? Because he said to do it. Tithing's always been in the scripture. And some people think, well, you know, I don't have to do it. No, you don't have to do it to go to heaven. You can be broke and go to heaven. I imagine there'll be a lot of people like that that end up there. But I'd rather have abundance here and go to heaven whenever the time comes. But if I want that, I've got to jump over on God's system. And tithing is an important part of that system, which is not our subject today. But it has a lot to do with living long and living strong. Because, you know, it's no fun. I live for a while without enough money. Ken and I had a good taste of that in the early days of not having enough. Of being in debt. I married him in his notes. And I think, you know, I've said this before, but I think he must have borrowed money on his tricycle. And so I was so young and so trusting and really ignorant. I didn't even think about that. I didn't say, Ken, how much money do you owe anyway? No. I was only 19 years old. No, I wasn't very smart. But I'm so glad I married him anyway. It's good that I didn't know. And probably I wouldn't have had enough sense to back out even if I'd have known in those days. Because everybody I knew borrowed money. My family borrowed money. We had revolving charge accounts, you know, and all those things. But the Lord is so good. When he tells us something to do, it's because he's got something better in mind for us. So if you've been teetering on the brink and thinking about, well, maybe I ought to start tithing, you ought to start tithing. Why? Because that's where the blessing is. You want a good partner? Just let God have 10% of your deal. And he'll manifest himself. And he'll increase you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So tithing is a good thing. It'll never cost you. It'll always bless you. So we ought to live satisfied. Let's look at Psalm 90. The tithing's not my is not my message. But I know that a lot of people hold off on it. Because they don't see how they can. Well, really, if you knew the truth, I don't see how you can do without it. You want to be on your own? It's just not enough. But if you'll let God in on your deal and start sowing into him the 10% that the scripture talks about, you'll be blessed and you'll increase. Hallelujah. Now that's all I'm going to say about that. Hallelujah. So 90, this long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Now, this one of the reasons that three score and ten is a lot of people think that's a set time for our lives, you know, comes from Psalm 90, which is just across the page from Psalm 91 in my Bible. And here's the answer to that. Let's look at that scripture. Let's look at verse 7. For we Israelites, they were there, you know, they were eating manna in the wilderness. For we Israelites in the wilderness are consumed by your anger and by your wrath. Are we troubled, overwhelmed, frightened away? Our iniquities, our secret heart and its sins, which we would so like to conceal even from ourselves, you have set in the light of your countenance. You have set in the light of your countenance for all our days out here in this wilderness, says Moses, pass away in your wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told, for we adults know we are doomed to die soon without reaching Canaan. Verse 10 in the Amplified says, the days of our years are 70 years and 10 are 70. And that's where the tradition comes from. You know, you ought to live 70 or 80 years. 70 years and 10. 70 years are even if by reason of strength, 80 years, 80 years. The days of our lives are 70 or 80 years. Now, in religious circles, that's still thought of as a time, you know, a good time for us to look at going home to be with the Lord, because the Bible says 70 or 80 years. But the truth is that this was talking about the people in the wilderness. They were disobeying God. God couldn't just leave them out there forever. And those people that wouldn't obey God and wouldn't go up and take the land, they couldn't go into the promised land because they were disobedient. So here's what the Amplified Bible says, and this explains it fully. This poem is they're talking about the 90th Psalm in the Amplified Bible, who is credited to Moses, who is interceding with God to remove the curse which made it necessary for every Israelite over 20 years of age, when they rebelled against God at Kadesh Barnea, to die before reaching the promised land. In other words, he put a cap on them. They weren't going to just live forever out there, you know, thousands of years. No, he put a cap on them, and you'll see that that's Numbers 14, 26, and 35. Moses says most of them are dying at 70 years of age. This is the people that were disobedient in Canaan, would not go up. They wouldn't do what God said. This number has often been mistaken as a set span of life for all mankind. It was not intended to refer to anyone except those Israelites under the curse during that particular 40 years. 70 years never has been the average lifespan of humanity. When Jacob, the father of the 12 tribes, had reached 130 years, Genesis 47:9, he complained that he had not attained to the years of his immediate ancestors. Moses himself lived to be 120 years old, Aaron 123, Miriam several years older, and Joshua 110 years of age. Notice well that in the millennium, a person dying at 100 will still be thought of a child, will still be thought a child, hallelujah. So the 70 or 80 years that so many people think is a lot, as you know, time to go at 70 or 80 years, that was for nobody except the people under the curse. If you had to say, I don't think there is a set lifespan, but if you had to say when, I guess 120 years would be, you know, as close to one as you'd find in the scripture. And we won't go into that at the moment, but it was not a lifespan. I mean, it wasn't a set lifespan. So we shouldn't start winding down at 70 or 80 for sure. Amen? Glory to God. I'm 69. I feel great. I'm not on any drugs. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I don't have any sickness and disease. The Lord is good. I'm married to a strong man. Hallelujah. He's doing good. Why? Because we believe what the Word says. We live on the Word of God. God wants us to live long and prosper. I believe that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I'm willing. So I take the Word of God. I act on it. I speak it just like you do. And God blesses us. Amen. See, faith is a mighty force. Faith is a mighty force. It's a spiritual force. It's an overcoming force. Faith overcame every kind of obstacle in this written word. Faith overcomes every obstacle in our lifetime. Hallelujah. Why? Because faith in God and what God says in the Word. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word. And when we see it and hear it in the Word, we say, okay, that's it. I take it. I act on it. That's faith. Hallelujah. If the Word says we should prosper, we say we should prosper. If the Word says every sickness and disease was laid on Jesus and by His stripes I was healed, I say I was healed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If I was healed, I is healed. Hallelujah. You say, well, that's just kind of crazy. Well, it may be, but I like it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm telling you the truth, I would despise to live a normal life. After living a life of faith and going back to the normal, just being subject to everything that came along and maybe thinking even it was the will of God and not knowing what to do if a symptom or of sickness or deficiency came up or if, you know, hard times came financially, we wouldn't know what to do. That'd be awful. Because the world's crazy. You can't depend on them except to do the goofy thing. So we depend on the Word of God. Amen. We tithe. We sow. We believe. We put the Word in our eyes and in our ears. And we let faith come. And we say words of our deliverance. We never talk doubt and unbelief. We never say, what are we going to do? How are we going to pay our bills? No, we know how to pay our bills. We get on the Word of God and we get the bills paid. We believe God. We call the money in. You talk to money? Yeah, we talk to money. Money come in the name of Jesus. Haven't you ever heard Leroy Thompson? He came to our church one time. He taught us how to pull the lever. He said, you're going to have to pull the lever. How do you do that? Well, you do this three times. Money come to me now. Glory to God. Three times he taught us to pull the lever. Leroy's got a message on prosperity. And it's a good one. Hallelujah. The Bible's got a message on prosperity. What do we do when Fox News and we don't watch anything but Fox, so I can't tell you what they're doing on CNN, but what do we do when they say just, you know, times are getting hard and there's this coming, a recession coming? They don't know anything but what they know in the natural. You know, that's all they know. I'm sure there's some godly people in there, but you know, Kelly Wright, he's a believer. He comes on Saturdays and he believes God. I mean, he's one of the commentators that believe God. He's the only one I know personally, but at any rate, they only know what most of them, if they're natural people, they just know what they hear, read, see, what some professional, what somebody says is going to happen. Nobody knows what's going to happen but God. Right. And we know God. So we do what He says, and we obey Him, and we keep going, sowing, going, tithing, blowing, moving, prospering. Why? Because we're on the Word of God. We're in a whole different area. When we begin to tithe and we begin to sow in the Word of God, just our tithe now. Just take our tithe. When we go by the word of God, and I remember how it was. I mean, we didn't see how God and us could get along on it when we started tithing, but because we were really broke. I'm telling you, we were broke. Ken was a student at ORU, and he was 30 years old. We had children, little children at home. I was at home with them. We were living in a little rent house. I think it was about $70 or $80 a month. We were there in Tulsa. And we didn't have any set income. Ken was not working. He was a student because God had told him to go there to ORU for a while. And we didn't know very much. I mean, well, really, that would be a stretch. We didn't know anything. And when we first went to Tulsa, we were born again. And we were spirit-filled and relatively ignorant. And so we went to Tulsa, and we'd heard of Brother Hagin. We'd heard some of his tapes, and he was in Tulsa. And during that brief time that we were there, he didn't do it for very long, maybe a year or so, he started having 10-day seminars at his place there in Tulsa. And we would go, and the kids were little. They were small, and you know, we had an old car. Ken was going to school, and I was at home with the children, and we were having to pay old bills and new bills, and we didn't have very much money. But anyway, we started going over there to hear Brother Hagin talk about faith. Faith, hallelujah. And he started teaching us how to walk by faith. We didn't know. You just take the Word of God, you read the Word of God, you put it in your eyes and your ears, you take it, you act on it, you say it, you do it, obey it, and you get results. Well, we didn't have very many options at that time, and that sounded great to us. So we started tithing right there. That's when we started tithing, and I'm telling you, we didn't have money to do anything. It looked like we couldn't afford to tithe, but we started tithing. We started obeying God. We started sowing in faith, believing God. What little dab we had, we began to use our faith on it. And so we came out of debt in 11 months, Kenneth's old debts that he had when I married him. And he'd been very busy in life. And we got out of debt in 11 months. Hallelujah. Now we're tithing, though. We're tithing. And we didn't, we weren't tithing out of abundance. Buddy, we were tithing out of necessity. We had to have some help. And we saw that tithing was right. And we were endeavoring in our lives to do everything we could find in the Word, and everything the Word said to do, we wanted to do it. And we began to prosper. We began to prosper. We moved back to, Ken only went to ORU one semester. And that semester we went to these seminars. We never missed a meeting that Brother Hagin had. 10 days, twice a day. Most days was twice a day. Come an ice storm, we'd just slip and slide our way over there to that meeting. We were not going to miss the Word of God. And that kind of dedication and love for God's Word, if you'll get on that ship, you'll come into the harbor. Hallelujah. I mean, the Word will change you. You might be new here today, and this week you might be hearing things you've never heard before. But the things that we're preaching here are, and the things that's preached here in this church all the time, is the Word of God. Do the Word of God, and you'll be blessed. And all the blessings, what would that include? That'd include money. That would include your family being intact. That would include your health. Every good thing. Peace, joy, the fruit of the Spirit in your life. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Glory to God. You can't beat a person that'll do that. That'll yield to those fruit and do the Word of God. Hallelujah. So, actually, this is not my message today. I was going to talk on long life, but I got carried away. With long life, I could say with long and good life, because it says, will I satisfy him? It's one thing to live a long time. It's another thing to live long and be satisfied. God will satisfy you. If you'll get on the Word of God and begin to obey it faithfully, even when you don't see how you can do it, you just do it by faith in His Word, you'll be satisfied. Hallelujah. How many of you in your life, you've already come to the place where you've walked on the Word long enough and faithful enough to where you can say you're satisfied? Let me see your hands. Glory to God. Quite a few of you. Well, that's for everybody. Hallelujah. God wants us to be satisfied. What does that mean? That means filled to the full. Be blessed, filled to the full, every need met, nothing out there that's not met. And you get into that lifestyle of believing God and acting on His Word, and I'm telling you, life becomes worth living. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But what I was preaching about was the 16th verse, what I'm supposed to be preaching about. With long life, this man that abides, this man that does, this man that calls upon Him, with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. So we found over here that the 70 or 80, this is just across the page from in the Amplified Bible of my Amplified, where the 70 or 80 was not a set span of life for anybody except the disobedient children in the wilderness. They had God put a cap on them. He wasn't going to let them live out the 150 years of life. It cost them. It cut their life short when they disobeyed God. So that was only for them. So that 70 or 80, that's not for us. That's not for anybody except the disobedient children in the wilderness. And if you want to study that out, it's a footnote of Psalm 90 in the Amplified Bible. Hallelujah. I thought they said it very well. With long life, good life, strong life, will I satisfy him. You can't be satisfied if things aren't right. You can't be satisfied if you're sick and you can't walk around, you can't move around, and you're not well. That won't satisfy you. You can't be satisfied if you can't pay your bills and you don't have a place to live. I tell you, the man on the street out there that doesn't have a home, he's not satisfied. He wants somewhere to live. Well, all of the good things that it takes to fulfill our needs comes under being satisfied. Hallelujah. As well as long life. So God's will is for us to abide in Him, to do what He says, and to live out the full number of our days satisfied. Say, satisfied. That's what God wants. If you're not satisfied today, there's more for you to reach out for. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God satisfies the hungry soul. God satisfies the man and woman that call upon Him. Hallelujah. Ken and I have lived this way. We committed to it. And I tell you, it's we've had, you know, we have maybe 450 to 500 people on payroll. We have all the television that's goes all over the world. And a big television bill we have every month, you know. We have, we had to believe God to buy groceries. What happened? Well, we found out that God will satisfy us. That we can get on His plan and be blessed. Hallelujah. And His plan's always much better, much bigger, much greater than you'd think you could do. Because you're not on your own anymore. It's not just you anymore. It wasn't just Ken and me anymore. It was Ken and me and the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It was a different ball game, I'm telling you. We always paid our bills after we started walking with the Lord and obeying Him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Everything we've bought, everything we've believed for, we've been able to do it. It sometimes takes us, it really doesn't take us any longer than it would for somebody that was borrowing the money to pay it off, but sometimes you get the use of it faster if you borrow the money. But it's not worth it. You can believe God. It might take you a little time to get to where you want to go. But when you get to where you want to go, ain't no man going to come knock on your door and want a check every month.
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we ought to just go for it. You ought to just go for it. Get in a good church. How many are here from the Branson area? How many are from other places? Hey, Branson's outnumbered, Keith. Did you see that? Well, this is such a great church. It's worth moving to Branson to get in. I'm telling you, there's word of God comes out of this church. That's awesome. Hallelujah. How many of you that go to this church have prospered greatly since you've been learning the word here at this church? Glory to God. I love to listen to Keith and his preaching. He'll tell you how to do it. Hallelujah. And he puts, don't you put every service on the internet? Everything they do here, they put on the internet. So you can go to where you go to church and you can go where he goes to church too. Wherever you live in the world, hallelujah. When we have this meeting, we'll be on the internet. So let your family know, hey, if you want to speed up, if you want to be blessed, if you want to increase and get out of debt, tell them where to go to look. Hallelujah. Amen. The word works. The word works. And Keith and Phyllis, I've heard their testimony many years ago. I heard their testimony. Seems to me like they lived in a trailer. Seemed to me like it had red Naugahyde furniture in it. Is that right? Was it red? Huh? Red shag carpet in. I had some of that. And what else? Black plastic furniture. Woo! And where did y'all live? Mississippi?
Yes, ma'am.
Mississippi. Yeah. That's how they decorated Mississippi. But you know what happened to them? They began to hear the word. Glory to God. They got on the word of God. Hallelujah. And Ken and I got on the word of God, and you'd be hard pressed to be worse off than the Moores and the Copelands were at one time. But we ain't po no more. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The Lord has blessed us. And God is no respecter of persons. I don't know. I'm supposed to be talking about living long, and I keep talking about money. But money makes you want to live a long time if you got some of it. And sometimes if you don't have any money, you just soon get out of here. Because there's a lot of pressure not being able to pay your bills. A lot of pressure not having a decent home, car, and your car breaking down. You don't have to live there anymore. Glory. We ain't poor no more. Hallelujah. We've got the blessing. The blessing is on us. So God will, he'll give us long life, and he'll satisfy us, and he'll meet all of our needs. And lots of people here could give you that testimony that have already been through that, just like the Moores and the Copelands have. We got on God's plan, and we endeavored to obey God. Hallelujah. Amen. And do what he said. And sometimes we didn't see how, us and the bank could get along on it, but we did. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And we got out of debt, and we'll never go back. And you can get out of debt, and you don't have to ever go back. Same thing's true with healing. You know, it's God's will for us to be healed. But we'll have a healing service tomorrow. It's God's will for us to prosper. It's God's will for us to be healed. It's God's will for us to be filled with faith. But how do you get faith? From the Word of God. How did we get out? And how did the Moors get out? We heard the Word of God. And once we heard it, I think you and Phyllis heard some of our tapes, didn't you? And then Brother Hagin's tapes, and we heard Brother Hagin's tapes and on how to, one of them was Confession Brings Possession. You remember that one? I figured you would. Confession brings possession. You can have what you say. We learn how faith works. We learn that faith works by saying it. Instead of saying we're so broke, we can't do this, we can't do that, how are we ever going to make it? We can't pay our bills, and we don't have any clothes, and we don't have a decent house, and we'll probably never have a decent house. We understood from Kenneth Hagin that we had to say the end result. That Mark 11 tells us we can have what we say with our mouth. I tell you, when you're desperate and you don't have anything and you can't pay your bills, you seem like you can pay attention better than when you're just real comfortable. You got a good car to drive and you got a good house to live in. You don't really need anything. The word doesn't seem as important to you. But you know, that can all go in a moment. What you've got right now, and you got it maybe in the world, it can all go in a moment. But the Word of God, what does it do? It abides forever. Once you learn how to walk by faith in the Word of God, that Word abides forever. And your needs will be met forever. If bread goes to $100 a loaf, you'll have $100 to buy bread. If cards go to $100,000 a piece, God will get you $100,000 to buy you a car. So we don't ever have to be concerned about what's happening out there in the world. No, that's not where our faith is. That's not where our hope is. Our faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our faith is in the Father that's blessed us with all things. Our faith, we have faith in faith. We know that with faith, we can, in the Word of God, we can receive whatever we need, including healing, including long life and strong life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Keith preached on this, and I love those CDs, so you be sure and get those. And I wrote a book, and a lot of it I learned from Keith, so I called Keith and asked him if he was going to write a book, because I really felt led to write this book. And he said, no, he wasn't. So I said, do you care if I write one? Or something to that effect. And so I had so much fun writing this book. And in the live long and live strong part, I've watched for people. I have a whole package of newspaper clippings of people that are 100, 102, 105, 108, you know, 110. I mean, actual people, a lot of them here in the United States, but some of them are in other places that have lived long. The woman that lived the longest just died like in the last year, and I don't know if I've forgotten what she was, maybe 114 years old or something like that. A French woman. Her name was Calumet, and she smoked and lived that long. I don't recommend that, but somehow she pulled it off. So this week, here's this week. This is March 1, Tuesday, March 1. The last American veteran of World War I dies at 110. He went through World War I, outlived everybody in the war, on our side anyway, and lived to be 110. Only two known veterans of World War I remain, the Associated Press reported. Florence Green is 110 in Britain, and Claude Coulis is 109 in Australia. And there are about, this is World War II now, there are about 2 million veterans of World War II still alive. Now, he's World War I, this man is. He was from Missouri, we'll see there. People live long. Why is that? Because they're stubborn. And they just refuse to die. Hallelujah. Well, is that right? They say, we're not dying now. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, that's fresh news right there. But anyway, I've got a whole lot of them. And that French lady, you know, she's the one. She died just a year or two ago, and not very long. She is the oldest individual officially on record whose longevity established the current standard for human lifespan. Now, they're using her life as current standard. We use the scripture for current standard, but they used her life for current standard for human lifespan. Jean Calment, Madame Jean Calment, who died at the age of 122 years. Now that's just been in the last year or two. I can't remember exactly how long that she died. And she smoked. I don't recommend that. And these people were not necessarily, they were just people, not famous. Now she was famous. And it says about her, to get a sense of how long she lived, consider this. In 1875, the year she was born, and she just died in the last few years, the telephone had not been invented. The outlaw Jesse James was still running wild in the American West. In 1954, when she was 79 years old, Stalin had just passed from the world scene. Eisenhower was in the White House, and the Third Republic had just come into power in her native country of France. In 1995, when she gave her last television interview, 2 years before she died, so she died in 97. I thought she'd lived a little bit later than that, but in 97, Bill Clinton was president, and the U.S. space shuttle was connecting with the Russian space station the year she died. Talk about witnessing changes in the world. She went from the Jesse James time, outlaw Jesse James, not the, whatever the guy is now named Jesse James, but the outlaw, the real deal. She went from his time to the Russian space station. Buddy, that's a long time to live. Hallelujah. Granny Cooper was 112, and when I read about her, and she had this advice, be lively. In other words, get with it. Don't just drag around. It's just as easy to be lively. Now, this is really good advice. It's just as easy to be lively as it is to sit there and bite other people's heads off and be sour all the time. So in our vernacular, we would say, walk in love and be lively. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. It says about Madame Calment that she was healthy and active well into her hundreds. It is said that she was still riding her bicycle around town at 100 years old. And having outlived her husband and her only child and her grandchild. By the time photographers and reporters arrived in droves to join in the celebration of her 120th birthday in 1995, she had slowed down some. Well, I can understand that. She could no longer hear very well, and after breaking her hip at 115, she could no longer walk. Cataracts had robbed her of her vision. She refused surgery because she thought it was normal not to see at 120. See, she began to give in. Who knows how long she would have lived if she hadn't have thought she needed to be normal. We don't have to be normal. If we're real faith people, I got news for you. We ain't normal. And you just ask anybody that knows you and they'll tell you that. But even with those difficulties, her good humor was intact. When the reporters asked her what kind of future she expected, she didn't miss a beat. A very short one, she answered, at 120. So she had a sense of humor. Maybe she should have said 150, but she said a very short one. What wisdom did Madame Calment have to share that might give us insight into her longevity? Here's what she said. I've had a beautiful life. I've had good health. I took pleasure when I could. I acted clearly and morally without regret. And then I added this. As far as I can tell, Madame Calment didn't know the Lord, but even so, she tried to do what was right and avoided the stress of guilt and shame that comes when we do wrong. You know what? I think that cuts people's life short. They get in sin, they do wrong. And instead of coming to the Lord, getting it right, confessing the sin, getting rid of it, letting the blood of Jesus take care of it, They let that sin drive them all their days to despair and unhappiness, which cuts your life short. So don't do that. The blood of Jesus will take care of anything. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I like to read about these people. They inspire me. Here's one, though, that this is Adam Clark's commentary. And he wrote about a lot. He had some things to say about these people that live long, but this one's from his commentary. Let me see if it's the one I want. Wait, let's see which one. Here is, oh, you guys might like this one. Reverend Scott hails from Clinton, Oklahoma. A great percentage of centenarians are women. Plenty of men cruise past 100 full of life and energy as well. Reverend Lawrence Scott is one of them. Reverend Scott hails from Clinton, Oklahoma. According to an article written about him in a magazine in 1995, Reverend Scott's first wife died after they had raised 8 children. And at the age of 88, he fell in love. His wife died. He's a widower. He fell in love with and married a member of his congregation at 88. At the time of the article, they had celebrated their 18th anniversary, so I guess it agreed with him. And he had been in ministry. This is a guy from Oklahoma. He had been in ministry for 78 years. Here was what he said. "I just preached the Bible," said Reverend Scott. At the time of his 104th birthday, he had no plans to slow down. Listen to what he does. Then, he awakened every day at 2 o'clock to prepare sermon for church. "I have to get up early in the morning and write," he said. "It's the best time to hear from God." Glory to God. Now, here's the one that Adam Clark talked about. "All men who live long don't necessarily have as sterling a reputation as Reverend Scott did. Take the case of Thomas Parr, for example. According to the 18th century Bible scholar Adam Clark's commentary, Mr. Parr, who resided in Glenington, England, several years ago, far outlived all biblical age limits. At the age of 88, he married his first wife, so he didn't rush into things. By whom he had 2 children. At the age of 100... you want me to read that again, guys? At the age of 88, he married his first wife by whom he had 2 children. Put that together. At the age of 102, he fell in love with Catherine Milton. I hate to tell you this about Reverend Scott. That was Mr. Parr. I'm glad it wasn't Reverend Scott. At the age of 102, he fell in love with Catherine Milton, 102, by whom he had an illegitimate child. That old geezer. That's just something you don't expect from a 102-year-old man. But then he repented in church. Glory to God. He got it right. And at the age of 120, he married again. Ooh-wee. It is said that at 130 years of age, he still worked outdoors and was capable of all kinds of farming tasks. It didn't say what else he was capable of, but farming tasks. He died at 152. This is not the guy from Oklahoma now. This is somebody from England. He died at 152 in 1635 after seeing the rise and fall of 10 kings and queens in England. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bless the Lord. Long life. Strong life. Hallelujah. We live long and we live strong. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now let's look at Genesis 6:3. Before I get carried away with something else. Those guys tickle me. I like them. I like to hear about people that live long. Genesis 6:3 gives us some important information. Now this is where we get 120. And the Lord said, in verse 3, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120. Now that's the closest thing we have to a set span or to a time of life. So 120, you live to be 120, and if you're not satisfied, because Psalm 91 says he'll satisfy us with long life. If you're not satisfied in 120, we'll live on until you're satisfied. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So that's where the 120 comes from. My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'd be a little past midlife. Glory to God. Now, you know, we have some centenarians in our midst, not here today that I know of, but there's two of them that I know, and they're both black people. They have Brother Clark, who comes to the Believers' Convention in Fort Worth, and if you've seen him there, he sits over on the, if this is the podium, he'll be sitting over here on the side. He'll be dressed in a suit and a tie, looking very spiffy and very sharp, and he has a little kind of a round cap he wears. And he is 100, he's 110, I believe, right now. He lives in Dallas. And he is straight and tall, and he sits there hour after hour after hour without moving. He doesn't have any kidney problems. See how observant I am, you know? I'm just saying he's doing good at 110. We call his name is Dad Clark. He's well known in the Dallas area. Great guy. He got up to talk one night, and he's just a great guy. Then the other one, let's see, who was the other one I was going to tell you about? Well, it leaves my mind right now. Who was that one? Dad Clark and Mama Jenkins. How many of you know Mama Jenkins? She comes to Billy's meeting, I believe, at Prayer Mountain. She'll come out there. She's right at, I think she's 101 or 2. And you know what she does? She lives in New Jersey area. She gets in her car by herself. I wouldn't do this. She gets in her car by herself, and she drives to Prayer Mountain. Or she drives to Fort Worth by herself. Amen. In a car. 101 or 2. Now, doesn't that inspire you? Glory to God. She's one of us. Dad Clark's one of us. Hallelujah. Faith people. Faith people live long and they're strong in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So we don't want to start quitting until it's time for us to get out of here. And that's about 120. When you get to be about 120, you can think about, well, am I satisfied? Do I want to stay another 10 years or do I want to go? You're in the driver's seat. Hallelujah. But don't you be thinking about leaving at any 70 or 80 or 50 or, amen? Glory to God, hallelujah. These guys inspire me. So let's look at, did I read Proverbs 3? Probably not, I was supposed to. Uh-oh, I've got to quit reading here, but let me just read you a few of these. You're young and spry, you can take it. Okay, Proverbs 3:3, I'm over here in Psalm, that won't work right now. Proverbs 3:2 in the Amplified is a very good long life scripture. Let's start with 3:1. My son, forget not my law or teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of a life worth living, and tranquility inward and outward and continuing through old age till death, or you could say through old age till your departure. That's what death is for the believer. We don't die, we just leave our body. It has no life, it's dead, but we're gone. Hallelujah. We've departed. So through length of days and years of a life worth living, tranquility, inward and outward, and continuing through old age till death, or I like to say, through old age till departure. Continuing through old age till you leave your body. And your body dies, of course. But you're not dead. You're gone. To be absent from the body is what? To be present with the Lord. Hallelujah. Through old age till death, these shall they, the word of God, add to you. So word people, we've got a distinct advantage. That's how you live long. That's how you live strong, is the word of God. Shall the length of days, years of life worth living. Well, let's start with one. Forget not my law or teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. So we are taught in our circles, we are taught to obey the word, aren't we? And by the way, I think a lot of people don't do that. They think because they go to a church that teaches the word, they obey the word. But really, people that obey the word do what it says. And those people are the ones that live long. For length of days and years of a life worth living, peace or tranquility, inward and outward, that would be in your circumstances, continuing, this is a big one, continuing through old age till departure. So don't begin to see yourself, you know, in a wheelchair and in a nursing home and somebody feeding you mush. See yourself strong. See yourself on the Word of God. Put the Word in your eyes and in your ears. And do what it says. And walk in love. You know, if we don't walk in love, we've already blown the whole thing. Because that is our commandment, that we love one another. So if we don't walk in love, even though we might tithe, even though we might not commit adultery, even though we might not do other things, bear false witness, and other things that are against the word, if we don't walk in love, we're not doing it right. Amen? So what is love? Well, the Amplified Bible says love, God's love. Love is not touchy, fretful, or resentful. Pays no attention to a suffered wrong. Does not rejoice when unrighteousness prevails. I might not have gotten it exactly right. But the key thing is, it's not touchy, fretful, or resentful. And it is love. The love of God is not touchy. What happens with people? If they're not Word of God minded, if they're not love of God minded, somebody will hurt your feelings. And you'll begin to get touchy about it. And you'll begin to hold animosity towards somebody. That's the opposite of love. You're not going to live long that way. And if you do live long, you won't be happy. What's the best way to do? I'll tell you the best way to do is be tough. Don't let anybody hurt your feelings. If somebody does you wrong, you're in control. You're in command. What do? Forgive them, Lord. They don't know what they're doing. You've got the power that God has. You've got the power to forgive anybody of anything. And if I had to say one thing, and that's about all I got time for now, if I had to say one thing to do where walking in love is concerned, where living long is concerned, I would bring it back down to the love of God. Love is not touchy, fretful, or resentful. Pays no attention to a suffered wrong. Somebody does you wrong, don't pay any attention to it. Don't think about it again. Say, Lord, I pray for them. Just bless them. And what happens? Well, you go free. And what happens to the other person? That's not your affair. You're not holding anything against them. You've forgiven them. God puts you in a place like He's in. What does He do? Does He see if we deserve it or not before He forgives us? No, thank God He doesn't. If we ask Him to forgive us and we receive it, it's done. It's cast out. It's gone forever. God doesn't hold it against us. When we face him one day, he'll not say, you remember what you said during the faith convention? And that thing you said, and when you got mad and you lost your temper? I remember it. No, no, not God. That's not what he'll do. What will he do? If you forgave, he's forgiven. And he'll say, he won't even think about what you did. He'll say, well done, good and faithful servant. Glory to God. Church, we got it made, but we just have to do it God's way. And we have to walk in love. And we don't hold anything against anybody. If you want to live long and you want to live strong and you want to be blessed while you're here, who wants to live long and be strong and not be blessed? But living long, living strong, and being blessed, that's worthwhile. So what do? We set ourselves to obey the word. Not just walking in love, but that's our major thing. That's our law. But doing everything else the word says. Learning what God says about a situation and doing it. For instance, your words. We're taught in the scripture to speak the word of God, to speak out what we desire, to receive the word of God, believe it and say it, put the word in our heart, let that word come out our mouth in faith concerning our circumstances or whatever it is. What do? We learn how to obey God, how to do what he says. And life is worthwhile. We never have to have a down day. Well, what could give you a down day? Well, you could hear bad news. What do when you hear bad news? Well, you go find you a scripture that covers it. And you say, I take that scripture, I act on it. You get a pain in your sacroiliac, whatever that is. You get a pain. You don't say, oh, no, no, no. That's what Aunt Millie had. Now I've got it. Oh, no. No, you say, oh, no, you don't. No, no pain. I rebuke you in Jesus' name. I command my body to be healed. I command my bones to be healed. I rebuke the source of that pain. You say, well, I just don't know if I have the nerve to do that. It doesn't take nerve. You don't even have to have an audience. Just God. Just learn how to talk to things. And don't whisper. And don't be timid. You know the devil, he knows. He can tell if you've got what it takes to believe God or not. He can tell if you're about in half unbelief and half faith. But when you just get bold, even though you might be shaking on the inside, you just get bold and you say, devil, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. You get your hands off my back. Pain, I command you to go in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. By his stripes I was healed. I'm not taking any of the curse. I'm not taking pain. You don't have to say a whole lot. You don't even have to say that much. You just have to say, stop it in the name of Jesus. Be healed in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We're going to live long and live strong and live well. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Who wants to close this today? Hallelujah. And by the way, Pastor Keith's teaching on live long and live strong is so good. So study it out. That's where I got really excited about living long and living strong. So be sure and study it. Send him a good offering. Hallelujah. Bless him. Who wants to close?
I will.
There's old Lenny. Lenny Mink will close. Glory to God. Come on, Lenny.
I am the closer.
The closer.
I am the opener and the closer.
Hallelujah.
And sometimes stuff in between. Amen.
That's right. He's handy.
We've been hanging out a while, haven't we?
We have. How long have we been preaching together?
Going into our 35th year together.
How old are we anyway?
And we're so young.
That's right. Amen. Hallelujah.
Awesome.
We're going to stay that way.
Yes, we are. Living long.
Let's pray for everybody. Father, Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, we lift up every single person
Thank
in
you,
this
Lord.
Place. Lord, we thank you for revealing your will and yourself to them. We thank you that the word of God comes alive by the Spirit
thank
of God
you,
in their lives as never before. And we believe that for ourselves
yes.
too, Lord. We love your word. We put your word first place. We obey your word. We set ourselves to do the word, to be doers of the word. And we thank you, Lord, that we'll live long and live strong all the days of our long life in the earth, or until you catch us up out of here, which would be better. Yep. And we're ready. We're going to stay ready. We're going to stay on the ready to be gone any moment in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. And we thank you. We ask you for wisdom.
Thank you, Lord.
In the affairs of our lives, in every situation, Lord. Show us what your way is, what your will is, and that's what we'll do. And we'll do it in faith in the name of Jesus.
Thank you,
Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
So good.